Welcome to the Right Turn Radio Podcast. I'm John Cohan.
And I'm Abby Dean.
And you're listening to New England's foremost addiction and mental health program. National Eating Disorders Awareness Week is coming up on February 26th, and there's a new movie out by director Bess O'Brien called All of Me. It's a feature-length documentary film focused on the lives of women, girls, and some boys who are caught in the downward spiral of eating disorders and their struggle to regain a sense of self-compassion and healing. We're joined on phone by Bess O'Brien, and also on phone from Vermont is Bree Greenberg Benjamin. She's the founder and director of the Vermont Center for Integrative Therapy. Her work focuses on integrative treatment for eating disorders, trauma, and addiction. Bree is also an adjunct professor at Burlington College in Burlington, Vermont, and she appears in the film All of Me. Welcome, Bree and Bess.
Hi. Hi, thank you.
Hi. I was really impressed by the movie. I watched it this weekend. And my first question is, Bess, why did you make this movie? Because we know your last movie was about the opiate crisis in northern Vermont. What made you drawn to this field? What drew you to this field?
Well, I was actually touring The Hungry Heart, which was my last film, through Vermont about 3 years ago. And after one of the screenings of the film, a gentleman probably in his mid-50s came up to me and said, I don't know what your next movie is, but my daughter has been suffering from an eating disorder ever since she's been 12 years old. She's now just out of college, and she's still struggling with it. And eating disorders are something that we just aren't talking about. They are pervasive. They are extremely dangerous. They're, extremely difficult for families. There's not enough treatment centers and supports, especially in here in Vermont. And we just feel very alone. And it's a disease. It's an addiction, much, in the same sort of overall category as any other addiction. But for some reason, it is just so, it is so hidden. And as a parent, I would just so appreciated if you could make a film that illuminates this issue and starts a conversation here in Vermont and beyond. And so I thought to myself, eating disorders. I mean, of course I know about eating disorders. I'm a fairly educated person, but frankly, I don't hear much about them. I mean, I think that when we do hear about eating disorders, it often happens in the context of, Hollywood and celebrities. Somebody on the front of People magazine who we think is bulimic or anorexic. But I think in our day-to-day conversations or even intimate talks with friends and other people, it doesn't come up very often. And so it just intrigued me. And then this man who actually is in the movie, his name is Norm, said, well, you should also meet Bree Greenberg Benjamin because she runs this wonderful center in Burlington, Vermont, the Vermont Center for Integrative Therapy. She worked with my daughter, really helped her. Bree knows a lot about eating disorders. And, why don't you just come by and meet her and we can talk? And so I went and met Bree and just thought she was a real firebrand, just a terrific woman and very smart. And I liked her way of sort of dealing with eating disorders in a very inclusive way. Not only through psychotherapy, but also through yoga and meditation and other modalities. I frankly just liked her office. I wanted to just stay there.
Well, what's interesting about?
So I like this place. I think I'm going to shoot a film here. So anyway, I was impressed with Bree, and I took one step and the next. And as a filmmaker, you need an opening. You need somebody who is going to help introduce you to the people who are going to be in your film. So Bree was very open to letting her clients know about the film and encouraging them to be in the movie. That was extremely helpful. And Bree was just a really great resource as I made the film to keep going back to her, asking her questions. She's obviously in the movie and is very articulate.
What's great about Bree in the movie is she acts as almost the translator for the public to understand this huge issue. And I'm wondering, Bree, because, you know, Abby and I work in the field of substance use disorders, and we see how much stigma and shame and guilt really impact our population. It struck me in watching the movie that stigma and guilt and shame is even more prevalent in the eating disorder world, and it keeps a lot of people from getting the help that they need. Can you talk a little about that?
Sure. I think that's really true. I think that eating disorders have such a confusing inner and outer message. I think with substance abuse, it always feels a little bit more clear-cut to people that this is something that they can go out and get help for. And even though there's a lot of shame, there's so much about it that's out there. And with eating disorders, there's so much of it that lives in secrecy. And so when you do go to get treatment, it's like you aren't even sure that you need it to begin with. There's so much murkiness and confusion, often in the family and in the client, about what really makes an eating disorder, and are they really struggling with it, and what's it really about, and where did it really come from, that I think it lives for a long time in dormancy. And so then when somebody finally comes out with it, they've often lived what looks like on the surface a very, very successful life, which in my experience can be different from with substance abuse, where sometimes you really see it in the outer life. A lot of times eating disorder clients have very successful outer lives, but have very barren inner lives. And so they can kind of keep up the facade for a really long time. And that makes that disjoint even more shameful. It's like a bigger fall in some ways.
Is there a typical scenario or a kind of group of scenarios that might foster the development of an eating disorder?
You know, I have to say, after so many years of sitting with people, I could name some of those things, but even every day, it's still a mystery to me sometimes why people come in and it has arisen in their system, but not in somebody else's. I mean, certainly, you know, having a history of trauma, sexual abuse, having a history of attachment wounding for various reasons, having any kind of history of addiction in your family lineage seems to make people more susceptible. Having any kind of lineage with anxiety and mood disorder makes people more susceptible. So I think there's a confluence of many factors. And certainly the old school understanding of living in a very perfectionistic, externally focused world, whether that be your home world or our outer world, which we all live in that kind of outer world in this culture, definitely exacerbates it. And so I think there are some people that seem to have more resiliency, but many, many people these days who fall prey to eating disorders, partly just because our culture puts tremendous pressure on girls and on women to be a certain way in order to have what appears to be a certain sense of self-worth. And we fall for it over and over again, and we're inundated with it.
Yes, we are. I also was really glad to see that you had a boy on the show, in the movie, because I feel like it is one of, you know, the stigma associated with it for girls. At least it's out there. A friend of mine called me one day and said their son had an eating disorder and, you know, was overwhelmed because everybody said, well, boys don't have it. Can you talk a little about your experience with boys as well?
Sure. I think we probably have, like, at the center in all of our eating disorder clients, only about 1%, if even that, of males. It's just so hard in our experience for people to come in and get treatment as a male, whether it be a boy or an adult male. It's been really hard to start groups for males. It just seems to live in the shadows even more and often hide behind a lot of athleticism and a lot of over-perfection with running or particular kinds of triathletes. We definitely see that here in Vermont. But I think it's interesting with men is that there seems to be, like with the women we work with, one component that often crops up is this kind of sensitivity in these folks where there's more attunement to the world than some people have. And with that increased attunement means that those folks often feel more alone in the world or more misunderstood or more different. And so what seems to develop is this sense of self that has a negative spin to it. And then if you pile on some family lineage of anxiety on top of that, it can really make that condition get larger. And I think with men, it's really hard because they're not allowed or encouraged to be in touch with much of their feeling sense. At least with women, we really allow and encourage them to get in touch with their emotions. At least we do on the surface. And with men, we really shun so much of that. So I think we're just going to see more and more with men as time goes on, and women want more emotion from men, and men are struggling more and more with finding that. So it's like the world is asking for it, but we really don't have the conditions set up yet to really support men in that way. And so I think sometimes eating disorders kind of come in the back door.
Well, it's really interesting. I mean, what I thought was great that I'd like to hear both of you address is you both talked about it as an addiction, and both of you, you know, Bess through your most recent, your movie before this, and Bree through your current work. Can you talk about, I mean, because that's where I think men are more likely to show up. They also have addictions. Can you talk about why you talk about it as an addiction in the film?
Well, because I think the similarities are very much the same. I mean, you know, I think for a lot of this, as Bree was saying, you know, all of these are symptoms, eating disorders, drug addiction, alcoholism, you name it, are symptoms of something else that's going on. And I think a lot of it is that hungry heart, you know, of people not feeling good about themselves or trying to deal with things in their life that just seem overwhelming. And, you know, whether it's an eating disorder that helps you somehow control those emotions or those feelings and sort of takes you out and away from those thoughts, or it's drugs that numb you out. I think there's very much similarities. And making those two films, you know, in interviewing the people, there were a lot of common threads that I heard in people talking about their struggles around these issues. The other thing is we know, and I'm sure you know, that there, you know, there are many times people have addictions, co-occurring addictions. So many people, you know, have can be addicted to drugs or alcohol and also have an eating disorder, or one comes and the other one goes. In fact, there's a woman in the special features on the DVD. I interview a woman who talks about being a heroin addict and how she finally licked that, but that the hardest thing she still has to deal with is her eating disorder. And I think that does happen a lot. I think people tend to move from one addiction to the other, and eating disorders in some ways are harder to recover from, because the first thing you do when you're trying to get clean from being a heroin addict or trying to stop drinking is that you put the substance away. You take it out of your life. But you can't do that with food, of course. You know, if you're triggered by food, you have to continue to look at it and deal with it 6 or 7 times a day, all the time. It's part of, you have to live, you have to eat. So it's actually, in many ways, I think, a much harder addiction and mental health issue to deal with and recover from and get a handle on, because the fact that you have to eat.
Bess, I was wondering, you know, you started this movie, you had some insight into addiction from doing The Hungry Heart, but what did you learn that you didn't know before you made the film about eating disorders?
Well, as Bree will tell you, this film actually was a lot harder to make than The Hungry Heart. It was a real challenge for me, especially at the end. I just couldn't, it was like 3 or 4 months of just struggling with trying to finish the film and get it right. For me, I think one of the challenges, and Bree sort of started off by talking about that, there are so many underlying possible systemic roots of the problem for eating disorders that trying to discuss those and talk about those and lay those out in the film was extremely challenging. So that is definitely something that I learned. I think a lot of times we just immediately think, eating disorders, especially anorexia, but even bulimia, it's all about, body weight and wanting to look a certain way and body image. And that is certainly part of it. But I learned that it's way, way more than that. And as somebody in the film says, it's not about the food, it's not about the weight, it's about everything that lies beneath. And so exploring all of those and trying to, bring those out for discussion afterwards, after the film, was one of my goals. And I hope that we accomplish that. And certainly I think people walk away after the film knowing a lot more and reflecting a lot more on how intense and layered this disease is.
I wanted to say that after I finished watching the film, I have a 14-year-old daughter who's very unconscious about her weight, and it's a wonderful thing. But it made me really feel that I needed to look at how I felt about me and how I felt about her. And it was just, I felt like it was a very healing movie to watch you talk about, people's self-image. You're watching all these beautiful young women who are incredibly competent, sitting there feeling like a picture of themselves at five made them look fat. And it was just so hard, but it also made me as a mom kind of look at, okay, I need to look at myself differently. I need to look at, kind of really become more conscious of it. So do you want to address that, Bree?
Yeah. I'm really happy to hear that it brought that up for you. It's still really exciting to kind of hear people's feedback from seeing the film and what it has brought up for them. And I think that was one of the hopes that we really had, was that it was going to bring that up for moms. Because I think so early, we're so unconscious often about how it is that we think about our bodies and how our daughters think about their bodies and how we relate to our daughters with their bodies as their bodies are growing and changing, particularly. I think what's interesting always for me and what has been so intriguing about treating eating disorders is that these are usually the most complex and competent, potentially, women that I ever get to work with. They're like so ripe with richness and yet so often divorced from their inner experience of richness. And I always think about eating disorders as really just being about so much deprivation that is representative of how much deprivation I think we all feel in this culture and how much disconnection we all feel. And I think that starts really, really early among people with their peers. I have an 11-and-a-half-year-old daughter and am always kind of watching how the culture is shaping her ability to connect with herself and her ability to connect with others. And I think so much of that, as parents, happens outside of our home, just as our kids kind of navigate the world, which seems to have this particular schema around hiding who you really are and being something that some amorphous set of rules expects. And I think some people are more sensitive to that, and when that happens, they really get further and further away from their own truth and get more and more sad and empty inside.
I think the other thing is I also have an 11-year-old son, And he's starting to really, you can see the culture really impinge upon him. He's looking at six-pack abs. He was talking about being fat the other day. And it's like I'm seeing that it's maybe becoming more important for boys to look a certain way, too. It seems that, too.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, there was actually a huge article in, I think, the Boston Globe. Somebody sent it to me about boys and eating disorders and how it's just, you know, within 10 years, it's just going to be a nightmare. And I think that absolutely, I mean, if you look at the ads and the even the male, they were talking about the male, you know, actors in movies now. I mean, you can't just be good looking. You have to have, you know, the chiseled body. And those are the kind of things, of course, that women and girls have been dealing with forever, you know, those images and those high expectations. But now they've bumped it up to men and the whole fashion industry, you know, of what you should wear and, you know, the hip, cool way of dressing and everything like that. So it's bound to happen. The one thing I would like to just say is we had a really interesting moment in one of our screenings in Vermont, where during the Q&A, one of the women in the film who suffered from bulimia was talking, and her husband was in the audience, and he raised his hand and he said, "I want to share a story because I'm in the Army, and I had a buddy of mine who was in the military come and visit us a couple of weeks ago, and I took him out for pizza, and we were hanging out, we were eating the pizza, and then he said, I'll be right back, and he left, and he was gone for like 10 minutes, and I was like, well, where did he go? And because I had lived with my wife who had suffered from bulimia, there was something in my mind that went off, and I said, okay, this reminds me of when she used to disappear and go throw up, you know? And so he got up and went out of the restaurant and around the corner, and there was his buddy, you know, big buffed military guy throwing up behind the restaurant. And this guy says, "Joe, you know, are you okay? What's going on?" And he, of course, immediately said, I'm fine. And then they went home, and this guy pressed him, and he opened up and said, "Yeah, I'm bulimic." So, you know, that shatters all of our, you know, you want to talk about going back to the original question of, you know, who has an eating disorder and how can you tell and what are the symptoms? I mean, now we've shattered everything because we're looking at a military guy, Mr. Macho, who's throwing up behind the restaurant because he, you know, he's freaked out about gaining weight. So I think, unfortunately, we've got a lot more coming our way around eating disorders for men, for sure.
Well, Bess O'Brien, your new movie, All of Me, was striking and powerful. And thank you for doing that work. Again, bringing another very uncomfortable and stigmatized issue to the forefront. All of Me is a feature-length documentary film focusing on the lives of women, girls, and some boys who are caught in the downward spiral of eating disorders and their struggle to regain a sense of self-compassion and healing. When is the screening in for MEDA?
Okay, yes, come to our screenings. MEDA, wonderful, wonderful MEDA, is doing two screenings of the film. One is on February 12th in Newton at the West Newton Cinema at 6 o'clock, and the other screening is Monday, February 13th at Assumption College Kennedy Hall in Worcester at 6:30. So Beth can tell you more from MEDA about that, but we really appreciate collaborating with MEDA. They're a wonderful organization, and, you know, just like we did in Vermont where we toured the film throughout the state and had a Q&A afterwards with people from the movie, I will be there, Bree will be there, and a couple women from the movie will be there, and, you know, we hope to start a conversation, raise consciousness, and, you know, just let people know what this issue is about.
Well, great work, Bess, on the new film. Thank you for the work you're doing. And Bree Greenberg Benjamin, the founder and director of the Vermont Center for Integrative Therapy, thank you so much for being on the podcast, and we look forward to talking to you guys in the future and seeing just how awareness is raised about this issue. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Right Turn Radio podcast. Check us out at right-turn.org. I'm John Cohan.
And I'm Abby Dean. Remember, be safe and ask for help.